Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. Texas football is currently at a crossroads of sorts. The Longhorns are 4-3 with back-to-back losses to OU and Oklahoma State. And now the Longhorns are staring Baylor and Iowa State in the face. So to talk about that crossroads and where Texas goes from here, I've asked Eric Nahlin to sit in. Eric is the publisher of InsideTexas.com. The number one authority on Texas sports on the internet. Eric, welcome in, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hopefully these crossroads aren't like the Bone Thugs and Harmony song about about untimely deaths. hopefully that's not the crossroads we're talking about here, Bobby.
Well, I hope not, right? I mean, that's unfortunately, this is really where we're at, right? I mean, yep. We went from, think back to the third quarter of the OU game and Texas is up by 3 scores, I think, at the time, or what have you, and you're thinking Texas is got a chance to be 5-1, maybe 6-1 sitting here today, and instead they're 4-3. And they're questioning, they have to be questioning themselves because frankly, the rest of the world is, you know, and I didn't hear anything from Steve Sarkisian or the coaching staff last week that or even your insider knowledge that you got from practice reports that led me to think that there was some sort of answer found last week.
I might push back a little bit there, but we'll get into it. I do agree with you that we're at that point of the season where, you know, after the OU game or in the middle of the OU game, you're thinking, well, the Baylor game's an afterthought. You're not worried about Baylor at all. And here we are, and you have to be worried about Baylor and only Baylor. I do think they might be stumbling onto some stuff, Bobby, and I could be wrong. You know, that the base defense worked really well against Oklahoma State, and I think that's going to serve them well, certainly in the next 2 weeks versus the rushing attacks that we're going to see. Baylor, of course, is kind of defined by the run game. And then Iowa State likes to go with big personnel. Obviously, we know their tight ends, they're still running down the middle of the DKR from last year's game. So I think they kind of stumbled onto some things with that base defense and putting Alfred Collins at the Jack defensive end. So I think that we're going to see continued improvement against the run. And obviously, as you were saying before we went on air, that's going to be the week that we need to see it because Baylor's going to want to run the ball.
Yeah. I mentioned this to you. You and I were talking to amongst ourselves. Baylor enters the game number 9 in the country rushing at 6.8 yards a carry. And that includes any quarterback sacks they've given up. That's just a phenomenal stat. They're 9 in the country. And this is the other part of this. Texas is number 14 in the country. So Texas is generally running the ball well behind or with Bijan Robinson, except in the second half. We can get into that. But the point that I would make there that brings me a bigger question is, okay, that's great. They're pretty much even on rushing offense. But I look at the rushing defense stats conversely, and Baylor's in the top 50. They're not outstanding or anything. Baylor's in the top 50. Texas is at number 115.
Yeah, that makes me want to cry. I think we're going to see improvement throughout the rest of the season. You know, I could be wrong. You're going to see Breece Hall in 2 weeks, and then upcoming this week, they've got a really good tandem in Abram Smith, who's an excellent story, and Tristan Ebner. Texas almost moved on Ebner late in the process. And then Abram was sort of a freshman phenom up in Abilene. Everybody knew him. I knew his guardian quite well. They really wanted to go to Texas and then he got hurt. And a lot of the offers kind of went by the wayside, but he was like a freshman phenom in high school. And he had a touchdown run versus Oklahoma State where he got in the open field and you're like, okay, there's that guy that we all expected as a freshman in high school. So he's delivering this year. Great story. I think Baylor's just got things going in good working order on offense. You know, Jerry Bohannon has been efficient, and that's testament to the running game, and also he provides a run threat. So Texas hasn't defended a running quarterback in about 10 years. And so we're going to see if those improvements that I think they're making because they're able to play that bigger package with more linebackers on the field They're a little bit bigger up front. Alfred Collins in place of Jett Bush. I do think they're going to play the run better, but you know, we'll see. That that hypothesis will be tested in 6 days.
Let me ask you this. And so this is a great conversation because you mentioned Alfred Collins, and Texas did find something a little bit different because they stopped the run in the first three quarters against Oklahoma State fairly well.
Right.
And at the same time, I look at Oklahoma State and they're not lighting up the scoreboard this year. So it's right. Not like their offense is great shakes or anything, yet they still scored more against Texas than they did against Iowa State up in Ames this weekend.
Right. Iowa State plays better complementary football. You know, their offense came through for them. You know, they got that. It was an even back and forth second half as opposed to that one-sided second half where the offense couldn't do anything and the defense was on the field. So I'm not so worried about the defensive collapse in the fourth quarter. I am, you know, kind of worried that maybe they're not in the greatest shape. Sometimes it does appear that way or physically strong up front. I do have some concerns there. But I think if they play complementary football, I'm not worried about them getting run over in the fourth quarter again. I don't think that's going to be the case. But Oklahoma State offense is not good. We knew that going into that game. It was just the circumstances around how that context came out in that game led to them having that explosive fourth quarter.
What did you watch the Baylor-Iowa State game? What did Iowa State do different on offense than Texas did to have success against Oklahoma State in that second half?
Well, they found their playmaker, Xavier Hutchinson, their wide receiver, their best wide receiver. He's not necessarily a great receiver, but he's a good one. On the same page with Brock, he had a really, really big game. That was the thing. They fed him a lot. He had 12 catches. You know, it was a huge day by him. So they were playing complementary football. They get their tight ends involved in the passing game, which we heard more about this week in practice than targeting the tight ends, which I think they're going to have to take the pressure off of Bijan. Ideally, Texas should have one of the top two or three rushing attacks in the nation once you get past the service academies that just run it all the time. It's actually kind of disappointing that they only have the 15th ranked rushing attack with the best running back in college football.
Gotcha. So you think you see some progress as you mentioned it, these are the running teams. I mean, you got Baylor, then Iowa State, two good team running teams. Even Kansas State is primarily a running team with Deuce Vaughn. You know, I look at it and I'm wondering what your thought process is really on the identity, not of the Texas defense, because I see where you're going with that. Not only Alfred Collins, but maybe getting Jalen Ford more involved. What is Texas going to do on offense? You mentioned the tight end and getting him involved, but isn't that predicated on better protection or having the quarterback be able to, I feel like Texas is in a quarterback conundrum right now.
Yeah.
And I can't tell whether it's because Casey Thompson's thumb was messed up all game against Oklahoma State or whether it's in the second half of OU, right? Because it yeah. got injured then, or if it's something else, if it's Thompson's inability to manage a game once that first set of plays have kind of been run through. I talked to Ian Boyd about this last week and he said it may be a little bit of both. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, they're still searching for an offensive identity, I think, beyond Bijan and beyond the script that they come in with. You know, the script, obviously, when they enter each game, they have a plan. Sarkisian has his game plan ready to go. He's got the other team kind of dead to rights. And then once that game plan is figured out and defenses adjust, then where do they go? That's the problem, is finding where to go and relieving that pressure off of Bijan and opening up the running game. So they are in a conundrum. They kind of have to, you know, they're in a place where they might have to rob Peter to play Paul, and that is getting the tight ends more involved in the passing game. Abby said that will open up some broader questions about pass protection, because they are used a lot of times to stay in max protect on the deep shot that they want to hit so badly. I think a problem is, you know, one of the problems that I'm seeing is Casey Thompson probably doesn't anticipate the deep ball and throw it when he needs to. He waits to see a guy open instead of anticipating or throwing him open. That's not a specific critique on Casey. That's more of a critique on a lot of quarterbacks, really. Not every quarterback sees that play develop. Sam Ellinger missed that throw a lot of times in his career, actually. So that's a problem. They're still, whatever happens the rest of the season, Texas is still going to be searching for answers at quarterback going into next year. I feel pretty confident about that. What they can do now is they're going to have to get more dynamic and get more guys involved get more guys in space. They need to get Keelan Robinson more involved. When Keelan starts working horizontally, it changes up everybody's eyes when he's on the field. They need him on the field more. It's not the same as having Reggie Bush off and giving the ball to Lendell White, but the principle is similar. So they're going to have to get more dynamic with him. They're going to have to find another second wide receiver to step up in the absence of Jordan Whittington. And they need to get the tight ends involved. You want to see a more balanced attack. And, you know, we haven't seen that in the last 2 second halves.
Has that been – do you think that's the play calling? Do you think that's the ability of the quarterback? Do you think it's the offensive line? Do you think it's all of the above?
Yeah. We're not in a positive feedback loop. You know, the offensive line is normally the best positive feedback loop you can have. You know, it makes everybody better. And then you can have a quarterback that makes up for it. You know, we saw that a lot of times that Clemson had. They didn't have great offensive lines, but the quarterback was able to make up for it. So Texas doesn't really have that. Even the running back, as great as Bijan is, he is still dependent to some degree. You know, he's somewhat human, at least, that he is dependent on offensive line functioning in a passing game to complement him. And they just don't have those complementary parts in unison right now. I do think, you know, I do think there is enough. There's probably more to work with than what we've seen in the second half. There's no real good excuse for them to just totally disappear in the second half. But they are limited to a degree.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Gotcha. So Baylor's defense is definitely upper class laden, I guess is the best way to put it. I think 9 starters are in their final year, or 8. I can't remember the exact number. And I'll go back and I'll make sure I post the total number on the message board after we finish this conversation. But the thought there is that Baylor is not necessarily as good as Oklahoma State on defense.
Yeah.
But you know, they do have a defensive oriented head coach and defensive minded head coach. They're a little older than what TCU was, but not as experienced as Oklahoma State. And, you know, what do you think? I'm just trying to think this through. The recipe is for a Texas win against Baylor. I mean, is it because I hear what you're saying about getting the tight ends involved, getting Keelan Robinson moving in and getting more playmakers on the field and sure. Using more pieces of the pie and hopefully Casey Thompson, you know, distributing the ball better. But at the same time, you know, Baylor, I just feel like I think they're going into the bear's den, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say – I'm not sitting here saying that this is an unwinnable game. I think Vegas has a line at 2.5, 3 or whatever it is right now in favor of the Bears.
I'd bet on Texas in the first half and maybe Baylor in the second half.
I would rather the opposite there, Eric, but I guess that's not going to happen right now. It, you know, is the recipe kind of to force Baylor to throw, to force Baylor to play the entire field on defense?
It's kind of a similar thing than what we've had this year with a lot of games where they want to keep the quarterback in the pocket and make him beat him with your arm. You know, they need to get Bohannon trying to look for a second option, take away his primary guys. And kind of slow down the run game. It's a very similar general broad idea going into the game. We saw it with KJ Jefferson and Spencer Sanders and Dugan. You know, these guys that can run, you got to keep them in the pocket and try to get him to beat you with his arm. But I think you know, this the past week with the team, Sarkisian had them focusing on themselves. You know, they're going to focus much more on Baylor this week. They looked at Baylor in you know, very limited over the past week, and I think that really is the key, is themselves. They are their own worst enemy. They shoot themselves in the foot. Too many penalties. Somebody, Shane W. on our site, one of our better posters, had that stat about how bad they've been backed up inside their own 20. You know, a lot of times those drives have stalled due to penalties. And so they just have to play more disciplined and protect the ball. And if they do that, you know, every game has been hitting at crucial point where they don't make a play. Just make the play, and they don't just go on to win these games. They probably go on to blow them out. They're just not executing. You know, I do feel like they're not executing to the degree they should. Now, you know, some of the blame obviously falls on the coaches to get them to execute, but these guys have to come up and not make these boneheaded plays when it matters.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I think that a lot of people would say that's mental toughness, and some of it is, but a lot of those false start penalties, Bijan notwithstanding, a lot of them are guys that are, you know, feel like they have to cheat to win a little bit by getting off the, getting their step off right at the right time. And
yep.
I feel like that people don't realize that those penalties sometimes are coming from, not just from a perspective of, oh, this is a boneheaded play. It's coming from, oh, I'm worried about, I'm going to get beat around the edge. If
you're, right.
You're Christian Jones.
I mean, these are not dumb guys, you know, it's not a football IQ thing necessarily. You're right.
Yeah. All right. So we look at this and we've talked about this. Let's you know, give people a little taste now for recruiting, because I want to bring that up with you. Jamarian Miller, the running back from Tyler Legacy, has been committed to Texas. His brother signed with Texas way back, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, but did not make the grades. But he took an official visit to Alabama this weekend in a surprise move. Jaden Blue, the running back out of Klein, was allegedly talking about looking around a little bit. Any other guys that you're hearing that are wavering, or do you think that that's just, you know, a little piece of it and not the entire picture right now?
Yeah, I don't think that paints an accurate picture of the whole thing. You know, obviously Armani Winfield is flirting with Michigan State. There's some heavy petting going on there. He's visited a time or two. You know, be interested to see Mel Tucker's name is going to get brought up a lot. I'm not too worried about Armani. I think it's just some, you know, keeping some optionality and some of these guys.
What do you mean by Mel Tucker's name is going to be brought up some?
Oh, I'm sorry. With coaching jobs, you know.
Okay, so going somewhere else.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. My bad. And so, I mean, these guys, they do like the attention, you know. I mean, that's if they feel like maybe they're being taken for granted. I'm not saying that's the case with Armani necessarily, but some of those guys do feel like they're being taken for granted, just recruits in general. And then that opens the door for other recruiters. You know, it's a nonstop game. And, you know, Armani Winfield is Michigan State's Evan Stewart. You know, you have to look at it from that standpoint. So he's getting treated by one staff like he's, you know, the future Heisman winner. And then another staff looks at him like, hey, he's been committed for 8 months or whatever it is. And I'm not saying they're taking him for granted. I'm just saying that that's one way to look at it from the recruit's perspective.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that as you and I look at recruiting, and you've been doing it a long time, just like I have, and it is a marathon. Now there's times when you need to sprint up the hill, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we've talked about before, because, you know, Arch Manning, obviously the 2023 quarterback from New Orleans, the grandson of Archie and nephew of Peyton and Eli. He was at Ole Miss this weekend, has visited Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. I think he's going to Alabama in a few weeks, or Clemson a week after next or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I feel like he might be a recruit that could cause that snowball to start rolling down the hill. But we don't have a clear set on timeline for him. He's a full year ahead. You know, there needs to be some movement fairly soon for Texas for the 2022 class. And, you know, signing day has moved up now into December, from February previously. So there's not a lot of, you know, we're at the end of October right now.
Yeah. So Arch's timeline is definitely something to pay attention to. You know, I think the longer it goes on, the worse it is for Texas. Right now, I kind of feel like UT controls its own destiny. The reason I say it's bad is, you know, you just don't want any more variables. You know, I'm watching for every variable. I don't want to know, you know, who's going to be the next LSU coach. Does that change things? Does Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss hurt Ole Miss or help Ole Miss? That's an interesting one to watch. But yeah, it would be huge for Texas to get him. I don't want to say they have to get him. It's not like the program's going to collapse if they don't get him, but it would just help recruiting so much. Not only is he a great talent, not only does he come with that well-known branding, but it's like a co-signing. If the Mannings sign off on Texas, it's them validating Sarkisian as a head coach. Like if Texas is good enough for the Mannings, there isn't a recruit that it's not good enough.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it, Eric. You look at, some other stuff that came out over the weekend with Hudson Standish writing about a couple of offensive linemen in the 2022 class up in the Metroplex that Texas is starting to look at. I thought that was good reporting by him today, or on Sunday, excuse me. And I feel like we're here in late October, and we're still got some of the same themes we had in early October, right? We're still waiting for some offensive linemen to come aboard. We're still waiting on Evan Stewart. We're trying to figure out who else they're really, you know, who else is going to be the next to jump in the ship. Jump on the ship. And I think that until we get some answers, it's going to be more questions. And I think that's part of the issue, right? It's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. You said positive feedback loop. I'm going with the vicious cycle. That's my term for it whenever it's just negative feedback loop potential.
Well, yeah, we're definitely strapped in for the marathon right now. Like I always tell our readers, is, you know, don't get too high or too low because things can change in a hurry for the better or worse. You know, I always point to the A&M when they had that "we run the state" thing going. It was just kind of comical to see that all collapse. So don't get too high. Like, you know, A&M gets way too high and they get way too low. Obviously, recruiting is the lifeblood, so it's extremely important. That's why we call it Recruiting Matters. You know, there's two sides to that. We're covering the matters of recruiting, but also recruiting always matters. But it can change in a hurry. And if Texas, you know, goes on a win streak here, they already have a good foundation laid with a lot of these stud recruits that they need. Things will go well. So just keep your powder dry and see how things play out.
You got the scoop coming out on Monday. You want to tease anybody with anything right now, or are you just waiting?
Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the team over the weekend. They had the weekend was off and a lot of guys went home. So the fact that I didn't hear anything negative, that's the good sign right there. You know, you never know what happens when guys go home and hang out with the old fellas and stuff. Or, we'll catch up with Justin, compare notes. Justin was in Utah checking out some prospects. Hudson did his little duty, his normal duties in DFW. Jerry's been on the road. So we'll get together and brainstorm up, you know, the latest on recruiting. Of course, we'll have a good scoop in the morning.
All right. Hey, Eric, thanks again for your time. That's Eric Nahlin, publisher of Inside Texas. If you're interested in the inside scoop on University of Texas athletics, please consider subscribing to InsideTexas.com. Eric, myself, Paul Wadlington, Jerry Hamilton, Ian Boyd, Joe Cook, and Justin Wells.
And Hudson Standish.
And Hudson Standish.
Yeah, we have a big group.
Yeah, we do. But you know, we try to cover Texas as deeply as anybody possibly can. So if you're a Longhorn fan, please join us. Also, if you like these videos, please subscribe to the video channel. Once again, I'm Bobby Burton for Eric Nahlin. Thanks for joining us.